Good afternoon. It's good to see everyone again. My wife and I certainly enjoy coming down and visiting with all of you in the Miami area. You have a very warm and friendly congregation here. It really is, and that's enjoyable to come and visit. Very nice. And you've made some changes here. You have a new speaker stand. Very nice. Very nice. We have a place we can lay our Bible and our information with a little bit more room, so that's very nice. Thank you. Well, when you think of the term professional, what do you think of? Do you think of a ball player, maybe Joe DiMaggio or Hank Aaron or Cal Ripken or Joe Namath or Matt Moore or Reggie Bush? Do you think of a ball player, a professional ball player? Do you think of someone like a doctor or a lawyer or someone like that? Well, throughout our life, we see different professionals and people that stand out in their fields. Sports figures, maybe a professional photographer. Maybe they're an inventor. My wife and I went down to see the home of the great inventor down over in the Sarasota area. Maybe you think of a writer. Well, we look up to these individuals, those that we call professionals. At times growing up, maybe we even thought that we would like to be a professional fireman or a policeman or fill in the blank, whatever it might be. Is that all there is to being a professional, though? And I might ask, are you a professional? Well, I'm here to tell you that you are a professional Christian. And this sets us apart. What does this mean, being a professional Christian? Well, if we define the term professional, Encarta tells us it's an adjective that means conforming to the standards of skill, competence, or character normally expected of a properly qualified and experienced person. Is this what you are? She goes on to say, showing a high degree of skill or competence. Do you think of yourself as a professional Christian? Well, Wikipedia tells us that the term professional is widely used to refer to individuals with recognized expertise or that they stand out in their field in what they do. Behaving professionally, it goes on to say, would indicate that the person's actions remain in accordance with specific rules, written or unwritten, pertaining to behavior, dress, speech, and so on. So we think of the term professionalism when we talk of or think of professionals. Well, today we're going to look at briefly some characteristics of being a professional. And we're going to relate these characteristics to us as professional Christians. Is it important to be a professional? It is. Do we see ourselves as a professional? I hope by the end of this message that we do. Well, being a professional Christian does not mean that we're perfect, but we're striving to be perfect. And that brings up my first point, and that is being a professional Christian is a full-time job. Do we represent the team all week long? Some time ago, I played on an amateur softball team, and we played once or twice a week after work in an evening, and we would go up there and play. We didn't practice all week long, but some of the guys in the community, we would get together, and we were amateurs. And when it came the next day, when it came time to go to work, we felt like amateurs when we tried to get out of bed and go to work. We were in pain. Well, full-time ball players practice all week long, and they don't have those hurts when it comes to Monday morning after the next game. Well, it's a full-time job for them all week long. They work out. They train. They're professionals. And they have the right tools. They have the right equipment. They have the workout equipment. And a professional knows his equipment. When we are professional Christians, we have our Bible. We have God to pray to. We might think of being a professional Christian all week long. We might ask ourselves, do we do it only when someone's looking at us or while we're at church? Are we a professional Christian only on the Sabbath day? But when we go home, we're a different person. Well, see, it's a full-time effort and takes a full-time effort. We are to be diligent in being a professional Christian, diligent to live God's way of life. Let's turn over to the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 11 today. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13. Verse 13, "And it shall be that if you diligently obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul." Let's back up to verse 1 in that same chapter of Deuteronomy 11. "Therefore you shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments always." The book of Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10 tells us, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might." We are to do it diligently. Let's turn over to a verse in the New Testament, over in 1 Timothy. When we think about being a professional Christian all week long, let's look at 1 Timothy and doing this diligently. This is an example of a professional Christian. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let's start in verse 9. "An example of a widow serving diligently. Do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man." Verse 10. "Well reported for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, served, was hospitable, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work." So we see an example of someone, not just on the Sabbath, but all week long, being a professional Christian. Something that we can look up to and emulate. A friend recently mentioned telling the story of an individual that he came across in the world and was just talking to this individual. And we had asked about, just in small talk, where he worked at. He mentioned where he worked at. And this other individual says, "Oh, we have one of our church members that works at the same place." And that person that he was talking to immediately recognized who he was talking about. And he said, "You know, if that's your church member, I don't want to have anything to do with your church, because that is one of the most despicable people that we have here in our company." Well, we don't want to be a professional Christian just on the Sabbath. When we go to work, we're just like one of the guys, or even worse, just a part of the world. We don't want to be that way. Well, we can think about this example that we just talked about and turn that around, though. What if the individual said, "Oh yeah, I know this individual, but he's one of the best workers that we have. He's one of the best examples. He's one of the best followers and of what we should be doing." That could be a positive example. But we can ask ourselves, how do we represent God away from the weekly church services, away from His Sabbath services? When we drive, when we're at work, at play, out in the community, what does the community see of us as we're out there in our daily activities? How we speak? How about how we treat other people? Are we known in the community as a professional Christian? Let's turn over to the book of Proverbs 31, and we recognize this chapter as the virtuous wife chapter, some have called it. When we think about being a professional Christian, it's an interesting verse here, Proverbs 31, as we drop down to verse 23, talking about a virtuous wife. And verse 23 talks about her husband. "Her husband is known in the gates, for he sits among the elders of the land. He is a leader in the community." The Nelson Study Bible tells us the virtuous woman's husband has a position in the gates as an elder of the city. He's one of the leaders, it tells us. It says that some of his status comes from his wife's reputation, not just his own. So the team together are a couple and a professional Christian. They have the good example all week long in the community, and that's what we're talking about. If we take our calling as a professional Christian as a full-time job, then we will be known as a full-time Christian. A professional Christian is a full-time job. So let's move on to another characteristic, and that is professionals mentor others. When we think about ball players, and we can use that example, and they have rookies coming into the team for the first time, some of the old veterans will take them aside and they'll give them pointers on being, you know, this is not college ball anymore. This is pro ball, and here's how we do it, and here's some pointers. Good managers also mentor their replacements at work. And that way that they can move on. They can, as a manager, can move higher and higher up in the company. Well, if we are a mentor, that's a wise and loyal advisor, a teacher, or a coach. When we think back through the Bible, we can think of examples of mentors in the Bible. We can think of Titus being mentored by Paul. We can think of letters written to people that Paul had written to as he was mentors. We can think of one of the first things that come to mind of the first people would be Timothy. Paul mentored Timothy. And he wrote letters to Onesimus and Philemon. And these are letters mentoring these men as to God's way of life. Let's turn over to the book of Titus in the New Testament. Titus chapter 2, when we think about mentoring others. Titus chapter 2. Let's see an example of this. Starting in verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which is according to godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. And that's what we're all looking forward to. Verse 3, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. Verse 4, to Titus, my true son in our common faith, someone that Paul was mentoring, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things which are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. We were seeing Paul mentoring, teaching Titus. And if a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed or quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, and self-controlled. So we see the example of Titus here being mentored by Paul. Nelson Study Bible. Okay, here. I apologize. Let's go over to chapter 2, and it'll make a lot more sense. Let's start in verse 1 of chapter 2 of the book of Titus. Okay, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men may be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, exhort them, teach them, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. So The Nelson Study Bible tells us here this word admonish to give in, means to give encouragement through advice. And the word studies in the Greek New Testament tells us it means to school or train. So while Paul was mentoring these individuals, and we see the example of him mentoring Titus, we also see him mentoring us also. So we as professional Christians should be mentors. We should both be a trainer and a trainee. We might ask ourselves the question, do we leave an impact, a lasting impact on the following generation? Do we leave an impact on the younger people that are coming up? Maybe we're older, retired veterans. We've been in church for years and years and years. But we see young families coming in. Are we there to show them the way, to help them, to mentor them? Do we have that compassion? That compassion to take the time to help them, to take an interest in their interests? Do we know their names? Well, when we think about it, our future is their future, and this is their church also. How about new people that come into our midst? Here they walk through the door and they're unsure of themselves, coming to a new place. Do we make them feel wanted and needed, show an interest to them, and show them God's true way is the way of happiness? Professionals are not just doers, or they are doers, not just talkers. They don't just talk the way. They are mentors and show God's way to other people. One example we might think of would be speakers' club, sermonette workshops. These are all examples of being able to help mentor others. I can remember someone years ago who told me that he didn't think that sermonette workshop was a good idea, and I think some of you here attend sermonette workshop, that he had been speaking all of these years, and he'd been giving sermons, and he's no longer with our group, but he felt like, you know, I don't need this class, I don't need this workshop, and I mentioned to him, you know, but all these other people do, and this is a perfect opportunity for you to help them. You have all of this experience, but he never did come around, so we must remember and keep in mind that professional Christians, as we are, mentor others. We go through some more characteristics. Let's move on to another characteristic, and that is a professional plays as a team and as a team player. We think of a ball team out there and someone that just has their own agenda and he wants to get all the passes. He doesn't help the chemistry of the team. He wants to be the one in charge. Well, sometimes the team suffers because of it. We can't all be the quarterback. We can't all be the running back. We all can't be the pitcher. We might think of it in our congregation here, and we sang from the hymnal today. If we don't have Mr. Wilson up here leading us in songs and telling us, please turn to a certain page, we all might be singing a hymn, but it might not all be the same hymn. We might all be singing a different hymn. So if we are being a team player, then we're all singing the same hymn. We're working together. Let's turn over to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. When we think about being a team player, Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only on his own interests, but also on the interests of others. So being a team player, being that player and promoting unity as a team. Let's turn over to the one previous book in the book of Ephesians, since we're here, and we're going to read a verse in chapter 4. And talking about being a team player, Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Therefore, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And when we think of unity, that's what we need. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. How important that is, the unity of being a professional Christian. That's what each and every one of us are. It's not our agenda. It's not what we want. It's not 100 different agendas and 100 different people pointing in all different ways. No, we are unified, and we are team players supporting our leaders. Let's turn over to the book of John. I'm sorry, 1 John. Let's turn over to 1 John, chapter 4. When we think about being a team player, we ought to have this love for one another. 1 John 4, starting in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Verse 9. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. And He sent His sons to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We ought to have that loyalty towards each other. And we read these passages when it comes to Passover. As we look forward to Passover, we can think about these things. Do we have that love for one another? Are we hospitable? Do we cooperate with each other? Do we stick up for our leaders? Do we realize that we all can't accomplish anything if we're all on a different game plan? We must be on the same game plan as a team, following the leader that points the way. Well, if we are looking for a perfect leader, we don't have to look far to find faults in a human leader. But if we're following Jesus Christ and His human leaders and His human team that He's put here, then we'll be following the right picture. We'll be supporting the team. We can always find a way to get our feelings hurt if we try hard enough. We might think, well, I can't support something. I can't support here my neighbor who's sitting across from me in the room because he has this root of bitterness towards me, and we heard about that earlier. Well, we need to have, as we heard earlier, wisdom, tact. And the first message talked about forgiving each other. We have people that are at a different maturity level. We have people that are new. We have people that are older. And we need to be sensitive to their feelings and their thoughts. We need to be looking out for the interests of others, concerned about others, even though they might not think exactly as we do. Well, if we are a professional Christian, professional Christians play as a team. Let's move on to another point, and that is professional Christians represent the team. When we think of a professional ball team, they represent that team. They have on the team uniform. They look alike. They look good. They look like they are representing that team. I once asked a painter one time, I said, well, why do you wear painter whites? Here you have all white when you're painting and you're dripping paint on your clothes. Why are you wearing the painter whites? And all professional painters are wearing these painter whites. And he told me it's because of professionalism. When you're wearing this white uniform, you are a professional. You're doing professional work and you're supporting the team. You look good. We need to look good. We need to dress up for God. We need to clean up for God. We do that by having respect for each other. Not talking down the team. Not talking down members of the team. We might ask ourselves the question, if we're out in the community, can we be identified as one of the team members? Let's turn over to the book of James. James in chapter 1. Do we look like and represent one of the members of the team? James 1, starting in verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow the wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble and keep oneself unspotted from the world. Matthew 7 tells us that you will know them by their fruits, and the world will know us by our fruits or our uniform that they can see. Well, what is the team uniform? What is our team uniform that we wear? Let's turn over to the book of Galatians and we'll read it. God has written out our uniform here. And we might ask ourselves as we read these, do we put this uniform on every day? Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Our uniform. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So we might ask ourselves, do we wear the team uniform? God prints it out here for us. A professional Christian represents the team. Let's move on to another characteristic, and that is professional Christians are committed to each other. When we think of a ball team, every ball player from time to time goes through a slump. And what happens to that ball player? The other team members around them take them off to the side and they say, let's go through and view some of the game films. Are you holding your head differently? Is your stance a little different? And they hover around them and try and help them out through the slump. Well, we as professional Christians also from time to time go through a slump. There are even people in this room right now who are going through a slump. Do we as professional Christians hover around them, encourage them, help them, love them, help them through the slump? Professional Christians stick up for each other, support each other, whether they are going through a sickness, whether they're going through difficult trials, whether it might be family issues, financial issues, addictions. Maybe someone has a special difficulty. They're an orphan. They're a widow. They have everyone has their own slump that they go through from time to time. Each and every one of us do. We must be dedicated to each other, helping each other deal with whatever we are going through, because we're all in this together. We should give honor and respect to those who it is due to. We should have honor and respect for our leaders. We should give honor to them. Give honor to those who have the job of shepherding the flock. Well, we might ask ourselves, what is the sign that God gives that we are His disciples. Let's turn over to the book of John, John 13. What is the sign that the world should see that we are His disciples? When each of us are going through a slump, each of us are going through a difficulty, are we encouraging each other, showing each other love? John chapter 13, we're going to read verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Verse 35, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. My granddad, who is he'll be turning 100 years old in April, quoted this verse to me some time ago, and he said, you know, as disciples of Christ, people should be able to see us wherever we are, and just from our actions know that we are Christian. Are we a professional Christian? It's the sign that, one, that we love each other, that we're committed to each other, that we help each other as we go through different difficulties, that we're committed to each other. We need to make that effort. We need to be looking out for the cares of others, their needs. Be praying for them, sending them cards if they're sick, helping with small children, whatever their needs might be, just encouraging them. When we think of being a professional Christians are committed to each other. Let's move on to another characteristic, and that is a professional Christian is called to his profession. Some time ago I heard a speech or a luncheon activity, and there was a training coach from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers giving a little presentation. In that presentation, he mentioned, as a training coach, that you can't work up to, no matter how hard you work up to, no matter how many weights you lift, you'll never be a professional football player. It has to be a part of you. Your body has to be wired that way. It's genetics. And then certainly working out, training helps, but you can't just decide one day I'm going to be a professional football player and be one. Well, the same thing with us. We are called to be a professional Christian. God has to call us, and we realize that. John 6:44 tells us that no man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So God calls us to be a professional Christian. God, the Creator of the universe, has called you, each and every one of you. Now you have been called, and you are a professional Christian. Let's turn over the book of Romans, Romans chapter 6. When we think about being called to our profession, Romans chapter 6. Let's start reading in verse 3. Romans 6, verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized unto Christ Jesus, were baptized unto his death? Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Very important. We are called to be professional Christians. The Creator of the universe has called you. So we shouldn't take that lightly. You have been called, each and every one of us, to be a professional Christian. Let's move on to the last characteristic. And if we take all of these points that we've talked about, all of these characteristics, we can kind of sum it all up in the last characteristics. And that is, being a professional Christian sets us apart. We're different. We were in the book of Titus earlier. Let's turn back to the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2. Being a professional Christian sets us apart. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Are we zealous for good works? Do we feel like his own special people? We are God's possession, his own special people. When you are called to be a professional Christian, you stand out from the rest. You're set apart from the amateurs. You're different. You're not there just playing ball once or twice a week and not training or working out. You're diligent. 2 Peter 3 tells us, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. So as we review these characteristics, let's remember that being a professional Christian sets us apart from others. So today we've talked about a professional Christian is a full-time job, mentors others, plays as a team, represents the team, is committed to each other, is called to our profession, and sets us apart. So are we striving to be professionals or amateurs? Do we have that passion, that zeal? Is our passion God's way and his life? God's will and his way of life? Well, I hope this message has transformed our thinking, that we truly understand that we are to be professional Christians. That's our calling. That should be our zeal. It's my hope that we will personalize this word professional. And as we go about and through our week, that we will realize, and when we hear this word, that we truly are professional. Let's turn over to the last book that we're going to turn to today. And that would be to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 2. It's one of my favorite books because after Solomon had done it and tried everything, he gives us a book of wisdom that we can relate to and understand. All of his experiences, he'd been there, he'd seen it, he'd done it all. Let's realize what he took from his life. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, let's read in verse 10. Whatever my eyes desires, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on the labor which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind, for there was no profit under the sun. He had tried it all. He had done it all. And ended up, his conclusion was it was just like trying to grab air out of the sky. It was all vanity. Well, in the big picture, it's not nearly as important how many home runs we hit or how many touchdowns we score. But it's much more than that. It's how many lives you've touched, how many you've comforted, how many you've prayed for, how many cards, how many phone calls, how many visits to the sick, how many people you have forgiven. This is truly being a professional. And we're here in the book of Ecclesiastes. Let's turn over as we wrap up here to chapter 12 in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. The end of the book, after Solomon had done it all, what it was his final conclusion, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. What is the whole duty of man? To be a professional Christian. Are you a professional? Yes, you are. And as we go throughout the upcoming weeks, yes, even the rest of our lives, let us strive to not be amateurs, but professional Christians.